I'll be reading the Bible for us today. And the Bible reading comes from Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 to 23. Chapter 4, verses 10 to 23. I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that you at last renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once, when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet all God's people in Christ Jesus. The brothers and sisters who are with me send greetings. All God's people here send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. This is God's word.
Thanks, Nicola. Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all. If you haven't met me before, there are a few new faces. My name is Dylan Jassing. I'm one of the pastors here. It's wonderful to have you worshipping with us, and we hope you will feel comfortable and at home here amongst the people here at Burwood Baptist. Allow me to pray before we come to God's word. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks and praise for your word, which we just read. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity that we had as we sang those beautiful songs, Lord, reflect on the wonder and the glory of who you are. And so, Father, we pray and submit ourselves so that you may minister to us through your Spirit right now. Lord, that you will continue to speak to us even as we leave from this place. So we thank you and we commit ourselves to you now, and we ask that your name will be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. What gives you joy? What gives us joy? Have a chat to the person next to you. What gives you joy this morning? What gives you joy this morning? I hope you are joyful. Right. I'm not going to ask you, but today we come to the end of this beautiful letter that we've been looking at over the past 9 weeks or so. And we've been tracing this theme of joy, haven't we? The theme of joy of this letter, which was written by the Apostle Paul, and this is the resilient, infectious joy. that we've been looking at. And if you're listening to the reading today, Paul is taking the time to acknowledge a gift that he has received, a generous financial gift that he has received from this church in Philippi. It came through one of their members, Epaphroditus. And in this passage, we hear again Paul's deep-seated joy, don't we? He, in verse 10, you might have seen, "I rejoice greatly in the Lord." Verse 20, he breaks out into a song of praise to God. Now, Paul is finishing this letter today, and at the end there are a couple of verses which kind of he brings greetings from those who are with him. We're not going to look at those few verses, but we're going to look at verses 10 to 20 this morning. The big question we are going to ask this morning is, what brings us great joy? What brings great joy to Christians? And the answer is, our joy comes from knowing and experiencing God's generosity in Christ Jesus. Now, you've been with us, some of you have been with us for the past 9 weeks. If you have forgotten everything that we told you, if you can remember this, that's great, right? So this is what I want you to remember as you leave this place. But let's see why we need to remember this. The very first thing as we look at this letter Paul talks about is we hear Paul's response to generosity. Joy and generosity, or generosity and joy. As we have seen over the past 9 weeks or so, Philippian church has been very close to Paul's heart. Later in verses 15 and 16, we hear how they have got alongside Paul in his missionary journeys from the beginning. But for some reason, for a considerable time, when Paul was languishing in a Roman prison, he has not heard from this lovely church. They have been silent for a considerable time. It must have caused Paul a bit of a distress. But on this particular day, when there was a knock on his prison cell door, he may have not expected to see what he saw. Epaphroditus, one of his friends from the church in Philippi, standing there outside the prison cell door. And he has a bag, he's a bit battered, but there's joy in his face, and Paul is filled with joy. And they would have hugged each other tightly. And Paul would have been genuinely happy to see him and also to see and receive an envelope or a bag of money that Epaphroditus brought along with him. But have a look at verse 10, how he responds to this. He says, "I rejoice greatly in the Lord." Why? Rejoicing greatly in the Lord Jesus. I think he sees the Lord, his master, his God, his friend, his father at work in caring for his needs. By prompting the Philippians and then providing for them to send this gift through Epaphroditus. And he recognizes that God has generously given all what he needs so that he can keep on serving. He recognizes God's generosity in Jesus, doesn't he? Philippians are just a conduit, an instrument in God's hands. And I think that's something we need to learn. It's a very simple but an important lesson to learn, isn't it? When people are generous, when we see a need is met, we must remember to recognize and boast and rejoice in Jesus. You see, when we see the gift, we must not lose sight of the greatest gift giver. Because our joy comes from knowing and experiencing God's generosity in Christ Jesus. Have a look at verse 11. He says, I'm not rejoicing because I was sad before. Like before your gift came, I was crying, I was sad, I was in need, and suddenly now your gift came, now I'm rejoicing. He's saying, I'm not joyful because of that. No, Paul says, I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. Now, if we unpack the word content, it describes a person who has this inward peace, satisfaction, fulfillment, a deep sense of joy, isn't it? A person who is content has this unshakable joy, whatever the situation they're in. Verse 12, he says, he has learned to be content in any and every situation. When he's rich and poor, hungry or well-fed, when he's stuck in a stinky, dark Roman prison cell, I'm content. In other words, this joy is not context or location dependent. It is not dependent on what we have or not. It is not dependent on our relationship status. It is not dependent on a good exam result or a good diagnosis. It is not dependent on one's willpower or determination. And what is it dependent on? Have a look at verse 13. Paul tells us what his joy is dependent on. He says, I can do all this. I can go through all these situations that I've just mentioned. Through or in him, in Jesus, who gives me strength. That is the secret of joy. Contentment, isn't it? It is Christ dependent. Christ is the one who enables him to be joyful in any and every situation. His joy is tied up to the strength that he receives from being in an unshakable, unbreakable relationship with the Lord Jesus. And as he looks back on his life, Paul sees how each of these situations have given him the opportunity to learn. He didn't learn contentment just overnight. He learned that God is good, that he is all-sufficient, that he cares, that he is all-powerful and sovereign, that this God is on his side. He has learned to trust and submit to God's will and say, it's not my will, but your will. And this is what infuses him with joy, isn't it? A relationship and the knowledge that comes through this relationship, the knowledge of God. So if you don't have a relationship with Jesus this morning, let me tell you, stop wasting time on anything or any person that is other than Jesus to give you joy. It's a waste of time. Jesus is the true joy giver. So let me invite you this morning to take that step of faith in trusting in Jesus, to have a relationship with him. And we are more than happy to have a conversation with you after the service if you want to take that step. But if you do have a relationship with Jesus, then fuel your relationship with Jesus. Don't let it get stagnant. Invest in your relationship with Jesus. Ask the Holy Spirit to show the things that drains and strains your relationship with Jesus. Why? Because our joy comes from knowing and experiencing God's generosity in Christ Jesus. Now, we are almost halfway into spring, and some of the things that give way that spring is upon us is the beautiful flowers as we go on a walk, longer days, and then storms that'll come through, and hail and all that. What is the sign of, one of the signs of spiritual growth? Here, Paul wants his readers to know that Philippians' generosity is a sign of their spiritual growth. There's a connection between generosity and spiritual growth. Now, Paul doesn't dismiss their giving, right? I mean, he's saying, yep, I've received this. He says, although I find joy and contentment in Jesus, it was good for you to give. It was good to share in my troubles. Although the Philippians were living far, far away, they have shared in his burdens, his troubles. They have taken on themselves some of the load. So Paul's load can be lighter. Now, if we prayed for our missionaries this morning, three of them, one of the things that we do is when we pray for them, when we give to them financially, one of the things that we do is we share their load, isn't it? Some of them live far away. When we give to our church generously, you become partners of the ministry that happens here, the gospel ministry. We share the load. We become gospel partners as we give to ministry. And to their credit, Philippians have been doing this from the beginning for a while, haven't they? Now look at verse 15 and 16. Paul goes to the very beginning. Back to Acts 16, where the church was planted 10 years ago. When the gospel broke into to Philippi. They learned about God's great generosity when they heard the good news of Jesus. That God, not sparing his only son, he sent him to die on a cruel cross so that sinners can go free. So that sinners can have eternal life with him because now they are forgiven. And with him, with Jesus, he has given us everything, hasn't he? And when they believed this gospel, I don't know whether you remember, their hearts were changed. Back in Acts chapter 16, their hearts were changed, right? Lydia, one of the first converts, and the jailer, the Roman jailer, when he got converted, the moment they were baptized, what did they do? They were so generous. They opened their houses, they kind of invited them to stay in their houses. Generosity was the first sign of their changed heart. And from that time onward, Paul says, they have continued to give generously. When Paul went from Macedonia, when Paul was in Thessalonica, now again having been stuck in a Roman prison, they have renewed their concerns. Joyful generosity has become their culture, right? Joyful generosity has become the DNA of the church. They give generously. Why? Because they have known and experienced God's generosity in Christ Jesus. And that's what's going to happen, friends, when we experience God's generosity in Christ Jesus, that we will become generous. That's God's desire for us, isn't it? That we become generous givers. Paul continues in verse 17. Paul tells them his desire is not their gifts, right? I don't want your gifts. I don't want your gifts. But what he desires is that what they will get when they give. Growth of their spiritual account. Now, what does that mean? Is he talking about like when you give loads and loads of money to the church, when you give loads and loads of money to missionaries, God's going to kind of give you brownie points and maybe like you'll be saved more? Is that what he's saying? That we can earn our salvation? We can do much more than what Jesus has done already on the cross? What he's talking about is spiritual growth, isn't it? Spiritual growth. When we spiritually grow, what do we do? What happens? We become more and more like Jesus. In other words, the more generous we are what God has given us, we are displaying Christ's character in and through us. So Paul is encouraging them and us to excel in the gift of giving, not because the church is in need, not because there's so many needy missionaries around in the world. No. Because it is a good spiritual investment. Because when we do, we are going to know and experience what it means to be generous like our Heavenly Father. And this is Paul's desire for us, friends. So let me ask you this morning, not how your giving is going, but how are you growing in your spiritual life? If you are growing spiritually, one of the areas that will grow also is your generosity. The way you give will change. Our giving, our tithing, the faith pledges to missionaries is a sign, a reflection of our spiritual growth. It's not everything, but it's one sign, one reflection of our spiritual growth. So if you're a regular giver here, regular attendee here, and if you're not in the habit of giving, let me challenge you to consider giving. We have a couple of ways that you can give. You can give online. If you receive your newsletters, you will know how to do that. Or you can give it via cash. There's a box at the back. And when you give, give generously. Give generously. Because we have a God who is generous. And finally, verse 18 to 20, Paul wants us to see God's response when his people are generous, isn't it? God is faithful. God is faithful to his people. Verse 18, Paul acknowledges the gift that came from the Philippian church via Epaphroditus. This is kind of a receipt, right? So when you give a gift to someone or money, you will get a receipt. So this is Paul's official receipt back to the church. I have received your gift. But notice how he described their gift at the end of verse 18. It says they are a fragrant offering. an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. Yes, it was addressed to Paul. It was for Paul's ministry. It is a bag of money which he can use at his discretion. No strings attached. But Paul doesn't see it like that, does he? He uses this Old Testament temple language. He sees it as a special offering that were given to God. A fragrant, sweet-smelling offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. That's how God sees our giving. And it is not just a transfer from one account to another using our bank app. Could be that for you. It is not just a few notes in the offering box at the back. No, it is an offering given to God. Fragrant, pleasing, acceptable sacrifice to God. The ultimate recipient of our giving is God. God takes delight when we give. Which means, in one sense, we must be careful to give the best, not the leftovers, to God, isn't it? Give the best to God, not the leftovers. And when we give generously, Paul says, my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Paul knows the gift that has come to his hand was costly. They may have to give up and go without to care for Paul. They have supplied for his needs out of their poverty. And he wants them to know that God sees their generosity. He wants them to know that God sees their need. And Paul's God and their God is able to provide for their needs. He's able to provide what is lacking according to the riches of his glory, out of his great wealth. He wants them to see how gloriously rich and wealthy their God is. He's the God of the universe who owns and sustains everything. He may not provide everything according to our needs or the way we want or the time when we need them. But Paul has this assurance that he will and he can provide in his glorious manner, in a glorious manner, in a way that we couldn't ask or imagine. And this, on all these glorious provisions of God are in Christ Jesus. He's saying that the treasures of God are unlocked for those who are in Christ Jesus, those who have a relationship with God through Jesus. And if you think about it, in some sense, what Paul is doing is he's echoing what Jesus said back in Matthew chapter 6, isn't it? He says, don't worry. Don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. Because even the pagans who don't believe in God worry about all that. And your Heavenly Father knows that you need all of them. Seek His kingdom. Seek His kingdom first. And His righteousness. And all these things will be given to you. What is he saying? God will be generous. God will be generous. And that's what he wants his readers to know and experience, isn't it? The joy of God's generosity in Christ Jesus. And if you think about it, back to verse 10, where he talks about this having this joy when he received this gift, the Apostle Paul talks about it, this unexpected gift. This is what Paul has just experienced, right? God providing for his needs in a way that he could not imagine. And he is filled with joy inexpressible, infectious, resilient joy. And when he reflects all what he has said, when he reflects on all what he has gone through, he finishes this beautiful letter with a note of praise. This is to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. See, there's only one person, isn't it? There's only one person who deserves our praise and honor forever and ever. He's our God. He's the one who gives us joy in any and every situation. He's the one who makes us more and more like Jesus. He's the one who provides all our needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. And when our joy comes from knowing and experiencing God's generosity in Christ Jesus, friends, we too must resolve to be joyful and give thanks to him. So I ask you this morning, why are you joyful this morning? Are you joyful this morning because our joy comes from knowing and experiencing God's generosity in Christ Jesus? Am I going to sing a song in a moment? But before we do that, it's a song of thanksgiving. It's a song of praise to God. But before we do that, I want to give us a moment to just pause and reflect. Reflect on what we've heard this morning. Is there anything that God is challenging you? Is there anything that God wants you to think about and put it into practice? Let's do that for a couple of minutes. And then I'll pray and then we'll sing the song. Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks and praise this morning for who you are. You are the one who gives us joy inexpressible. The infectious, resilient joy that we've been talking about. And Father, forgive us for the times we have run after things of this world. Temporary things that gives us joy, and Lord, we've just lost our way. Help us to come back to you. Help us to have a relationship with you through your Son, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Our generosity, the heart of generosity is one of the marks of our spiritual growth. Help us to practice generous giving. And as we do, help us to experience and know, Lord, that you are faithful. Lord, that you will provide all our needs according to the glorious riches in Christ Jesus. And when you do, and when we receive your faithfulness, help us, Lord, to return praise to you, the only God who deserves all our worship and honor and praise. And we ask this for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.